really underestimated the time to get here. So we only have two items. Maybe let's start first with the NAMLA bill. And get Mongameli to take us through on the, is it the A or the B version? C and D. Okay. Mongameli.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, there was that one outstanding issue about the appeal process that the committee instructed us to include. I will let the department chair just on that issue to confirm the issue of the appeal process, Chair. Just for the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Isha.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. Chair, if you go to page 4 of the C bill, it's the thinner one. Under clause 34, where we say new clause, you remember, Chair, that there was the issue around the appeals, right?
Yeah.
And specifically the appeals in respect of revocation of the air quality licenses. So if you look there under section 34, what we've done is we've included a new section there. Under 1A it says, by the insertion after subsection 1B of the following subsection, and then it's 1C. So any person may appeal against a decision made by the licensing authority contemplated in section 36(1) or 47A of the Environmental Management Air Quality Act, in the case of municipalities, to the executive committee or executive mayor, or if the municipality does not have an executive committee or an executive mayor, such person may appeal to the municipal council. So that was to cover, I think it was Honorable Makubela's concern around the appeal process. I can't remember which member raised it, but that is essentially the clause that we've inserted under Section 43 of NEMA, which will take care of that appeal in the event that they need to appeal the revocation of a license.
Okay. Does it, from the municipal council, it goes to where?
No, Chair. It's actually the municipal manager that would make the decision.
The appeal is to the council.
Correct, Chair. It goes to the executive committee or the executive mayor, and then to the council in the event that they don't have either of those.
Okay. And if that is still not attended?
Well, somebody in the municipality would have to attend to that.
No, appeal. I'm saying, if that person is still not happy with the...
The next step then, Chair, would be, as with our appeals, a review to the court. So if a decision is made by the department, there's usually an appeal process that you appeal to against the decision to the minister. If you're still dissatisfied, then you still have the option of approaching a court on review to review the minister's decision, and sometimes also, well, they usually do it in conjunction with the initial decision. So they review the minister's decision if it upholds the decision of the initial decision maker. So then there's still the court process that you can use if you're dissatisfied with the appeal process, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Kuya.
Chair, I nearly raised the same issue because I thought probably what you're raising is that even before the courts perhaps, the applicant needed to appeal either to the provincial sphere or national sphere of government. But if that is not the route, it means you're saying because local government is another sphere of government, once you have appealed there and they stick to the same decision, not in favor of the applicant must then just go straight to court other than going through the spheres of the other spheres of government. I thought that's the clarity we need.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's fine. It's understood. Yeah. Are you fine, Dr. Liang?
You can repeat the latter part.
All right, or maybe let's ask Hisham to explain that.
Okay, the other thing is that, okay, firstly, there's the administrative appeal provision, right, which is the one that's under discussion now. So the purpose of that is to actually prevent the matter going straight to court, because in the past what used to happen is once there's a decision and there's no appeal process attached to the decision, people go straight to court, and the courts were clogging up. So then they introduced the appeal provision, administrative appeal provision, which is meant to give you almost a second bite at the cherry before you approach the court and have to incur expenses. So if we have to then extend it to a further level or tier of government, we could have a situation where it would go on forever and ever and a day. And it's not in the interest of good decision making, and also in terms of projects as well. So there's a second bite at the cherry, and that's essentially your appeal process. So you've got a decision that's made by the original decision maker. If you're unhappy with that process, your next step is to then go on appeal to a higher authority. If you, if the higher authority holds in your favor, then that's the end of the matter. If they dismiss your appeal, then you still have an option of approaching a court, which is your sort of second, attempt to remedy the situation. And that's the simple explanation.
Okay.
In fact, I wanted to get the view, the latter part of the view of Comrade, of Honorable Makubele. But let me just say what I think in relation with the executive committee and executive mayor. In the absence of that, to the municipal council, which I think it's not necessarily to point out the mayoral positions, whether executive or not. The underlying factor is that the power that is derived from the council, it is used by the executive mayor or any mayor. So if it says to the municipal council, it's enough, because there is no council without a council, even the little ones and the big ones, even going to the metro. So now I'm foreseeing a situation whereby the executive mayor of a metro decides on this alone, because you are empowering an individual within a collective, within a big institution like that one. But if you say municipal council, the executive mayor is part of the council.
Yeah. Okay.
Chair, perhaps what I understand Honorable Luyenge, Dr. Luyenge, to be saying, and what is in law, is that in terms of the constitution, at the is it category B municipalities, for instance, both or local government general, both the executive powers and the legislative powers are in the same people. It's unlike the provincial and national government, where you will have the executive separately from the legislative authority. So at the level of the municipalities, they exercise those things together. So it's difficult to separate them. What it means is that that appeal process is basically going to the same people. You know, it's either you just have it as municipal council, or because even if you say the executive, they will just have to consult council. There's no way in which they can do it on their own. Yeah.
Shouldn't we just leave it at municipal council, that the councillors, all of them combined, should adjudicate and listen to that appeal and take a decision?
Unlike cabinet. A cabinet decision can be taken without parliament involved. But at local government level, all powers that exist in the executive committee and the executive mayor are derived from the council. They don't operate single-handedly on any matter. They derive everything from the council, unlike in the council.
Yeah, they're delegated, some of them. The executive mayor has got some powers, but mostly the municipal council is in charge. Is it fine if we do that?
Chair, in principle, I don't have an objection, but we're saying that in the case of municipality to the executive committee, so that's the first option, or executive mayor. So do you want us to leave the option of executive committee, because then that addresses what Honorable Yenge and
the executive committee and the mayor.
And then if in the absence of an executive committee to the council.
Remember, the mayoral committee also serve as the
executive council.
Executive in a municipality. They are appointed by the mayor. They almost do the same thing as the executive committee. The only difference is that the executive committee, they are elected by the council. They are not appointed by the executive mayor. But both are executives. But I think the point is that let it be the council itself, so that the municipal council must take that decision. Okay. So I think that was the only thing, eh? Was there other issues?
No, Chair. If you recall, we presented the other four big issues. And that was accepted by the committee, and those are included in the CBL, and Mongameli and Nati would confirm that, Chair.
Okay.
So all the other issues in relation to which the committee wanted us to make changes, those are included in the CBL. This was the only additional one that the committee wanted us to include. So this is now included. So the CBL includes all that we've agreed at the previous meeting, and this clause with the deletion that the committee is suggesting now, Chair.
Okay. Mongameli?
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, the honourable member should have
two. Switch off this one.
Should have two documents in front of them. The B14C 2017 and also the B14D 2017. The C list, Chairperson, contains all the proposed amendments that were agreed to by the committee at the last meeting. And the D version, Chair, of the document contains all the amendments that have been agreed to by the committee previously, Chair, during the other committee's deliberations and also last Tuesday, Chair. Therefore, Chair, if you look at the C list contains an amendment to clause 3, Chair. This is a technical amendment, Chair, to clarify some typos, Chair. And also in clause 4 as well, it's a typo, Chair, that needs to be clarified. And then clause 5, Chair, is one of the provisions that was agreed to by the committee in the last meeting regarding consequences of unlawful activity. Chair, this provision, Chair, is a true reflection of what the committee agreed to, Chair. And on page 8 of the bill itself, you will see that these provisions have been captured properly in the D version of the bill. That is clause 5, Chair. And then on clause 17 as well, Chair, this is also one of the amendments that were proposed and the committee agreed to. And this has been captured in the D version of the bill under clause.
Just to understand this numbering, will it be like this finally? The Roman figures and the alphabetical.
Yes, Honourable Member, it will have to reflect like this in the Principal Act ultimately, because it had been redrafted based on the proposed amendments. So it needed redrafting. Therefore, in the Principal Act, what is going to be reflected there, besides the bill, for instance, on page 2 of the C list, you see there is an AA that is underlined, meaning that there will be that AA, and then that Roman letter figure that is square bracketed is going to be removed, and then we'll be left with that big A, and also below that Roman letter 2 that is square bracketed will be replaced by that B all the way down. That is how it's going to be reflected in the Principal Act, because this is an amendment. It has to show that previously there was this letter, but now since there's a redrafting, there should be this particular letter for the purpose of drafting.
It's an amendment bill which amends the principal legislation. So what is appearing more is going to appear on the main act after we've agreed. So they will have to amend the main act, because we are deleting, we are inserting, we are doing all of these things in the main one. Okay, proceed.
Chair, as I stated, clause 17, Chair, which is reflected on page 15 of the D bill, Chair, is one of the provisions that was proposed by the committee to be inserted in the bill. It has been properly captured, Chair, in line with the committee's agreement. The next one, Chair, is on clause 34, the appeal process. Chair, the appeal process, as the committee has now agreed, Chair, that the appeal should be to the Municipal Council, meaning that, Chair, this will have to be changed, Chair, and then the appeal against the decision by a licensing authority will be made to the Municipal Council itself, as the committee has deliberated now and agreed. Therefore, this is going to change here under clause 34 on page 4 of the C list. The other provisions here are the ones that the committee agreed to and will be properly captured and transferred into the D bill.
So the D bill is this one?
Those provisions are on page 15 of the D bill, Chair. We have gone through them and ensured that they have been properly captured in the D version of the bill, which is going to be the bill that's going to go to the NCOP.
After it's approved?
After the committee has approved and the National Assembly as well.
Okay. Honorable Paddy?
Let me get it clear. This discussion that's taken place on the appeal process in the Municipal Council, where will that be included in 34 on page 21 of the D? Where, exactly where? The D bill, section 34 on page 21, where will that reflect? In 34A or where?
Yeah, it's going to be under 34A, but remember it's just the deletion there. 1C. So 1C we just have to take out from municipalities up to municipal council. So it's basically, in the case of municipalities, to the municipal council. So it's between lines 20 and 30, essentially that paragraph, around line 25. So that's going to be deleted. 25, 26, 27 is going to be deleted, essentially. Or half of 25, rather.
Okay. Follow up. Are you fine? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The next clause, Chair, The next proposed amendment that the committee agreed to was under clause 38, that is on page 23 of the D bill. Those amendments were the amendments that were explained by the department chair, and the committee also agreed to at the last meeting. That is clause 38, chair, on page 23 of the D bill. And it has been transferred to the D bill, chair, as the committee has agreed to. And then, chair, the next provision is on clause 54, inserting section 47A regarding revocation or suspension of atmospheric emission licenses. That, chair, is the last provision that the committee agreed to regarding the amendment of the bill. Chair, there are consequential amendments that are necessary to the long title and also the memorandum on the object, chair. Therefore, chair, the long title, the chair, needs to be amended and to reflect as it is now, chair. Therefore, in the D bill, this particular long title is the one that has to be or has been captured, chair, to reflect all the amendments regarding the bill itself. The memorandum on the objects as well, chair, was necessary to be adjusted a bit so that the memorandum on the objects speaks to the body of the bill, chair. Chair, those are the amendments that we proposed and agreed to by the committee on the National Environmental Laws Amendment Bill. That is now, originally was B14D 2017. Now, the committee now is to adopt B14D 2017. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. All right. All right. What do we say? There is the B14D 2017. Do you agree with it, Honourable Makuvela?
I move that the bill be adopted with the amendment that we have made on the appeal process in terms of the local government sphere or powers.
Okay, Honourable Makuvela moves. Seconder. Dr. Luyange seconds. Any objection? No objection, agreed to. There is also a report.
I'm just saying that because it's just a deletion, it's not any crafting or something, we don't need to see it finally. It can just go for printing and it will be something.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Okay, the report also of the portfolio committee there. That captures all the amendments that we have made. Can I get a mover for the adoption of the report? Dr. Luyange moves. Honorable Nyambi seconds. Any objection? No objection. Agreed to. Thank you very much, Mungameli. Thank you very much, Isham, and the other team members who were responsible for this. We hope that we are not going to get another letter. So we hope that we will have to schedule this and then debate it in the House. Before we arise, We... So before we rise, we should debate this one. I hear colleagues in the NCOP are fatigued about all the bills that needs to go through. They said, "Hold, process them now." But I guess there will be a way of engaging with them to process this one. So before we rise this month, we must have it programmed. But I don't think it's going to be a big issue. Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. Can we then move to the next item, which was number one, a report of the colloquia. I hope members had an opportunity to go through the report, and so I think I'm going to go page by page, if members don't mind, so that if there are corrections, we make them on each page. Okay. So can we look at page one? Any changes, proposed amendments on page one, which talks to the background? No comment. Can we go to the second page, page two? That has got local and international concerns about CBL industry. Yeah, your excuse. Can we go to page three? Any comment on page three? Page four, parliamentary colloquium on CBL for hunting. Can we include the and lion bone trade, parliamentary colloquium on CBL for hunting and lion bone trade? Okay. Scene setting, session, opening remarks by the chair. Page six. You want to comment on the opening remarks? You want to change the opening remarks?
No. Line, I'm not sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Line six.
Okay.
In fact, the sentence starts 3 months down the line, we are gathered here today in fulfillment of that commitment and to interrogate the practice that has gained the reputation of being the most controversial subject in the conservation industry. I agree that it's the most controversial subject and so on. What I'm not sure is whether even when something is negative, we insist on it being a reputation. That's all I'm... page 5.
Page 5,
yeah, just that
line sentence, number 6.
Whether it has gained reputation. I'm saying because it's a negative thing, Chair, if you get what I'm raising.
Yeah.
Are we insisting that it's a reputation that we've got, even as it's a most controversial thing? It was supposed to be some infamous kind of a thing to us, but...
Remember, this is the opening remarks. This is what I said.
So it's captured as is, not...
Yeah.
Okay. No, can we...
Oh, does the committee want to change what I said there? No, it's just a summary of what my input was, that this thing has got a bad reputation. It's gained that reputation of being the most controversial. And as you might have observed, that became the case during the two-day colloquium.
What do you think, Chair? It's right to say bad reputation, because I'm saying it's a negative thing. If you can just reread it, it's not to cause us to debate it, whether to remove or not. I'm saying it's supposed to be a negative thing, Chair. Well, controversial as well. I mean that it's negative.
Okay, so yeah. You want us to add bad. Okay. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that was on the speech, so it's captured as is. Yeah. Okay. Page 6. Keynote address by the late Minister Mulewa. Page 7. Page 8. All these are presentations. Page 9. Doc. Just press there.
I was actually saying that Son is sending me some minor amendments pertaining to the details of the DAF official who made the presentation. And then if you also just include something for clarity pertaining to the IUCN, nothing significant.
Oh, so they are just correcting what was presented.
Correct.
Okay. All right, can we then move to page 10, presentation by EMS Foundation and Ban Animal Trading. That's what they said. Page 11, Khoisan Chief, Mr. Fritz. Page 12, there was a panel discussion. Any comment on that? Page 13, there was PASA and SAPA presentations, continues. Any comment? Page 14, Custodian of Professional Hunting and Conservation, those are their comments. Any comment? Page 15, it was CIC, Dr. Ali Kaka. And then move to day 2, Dr. Pinnock's input. Page 16, SANParks and Mpumalanga Tourism. I know that Shoni had commented, they are included, Doc. Okay. And page 17, there was a panel discussion there. Page 18, any comment, Brand South Africa? Page 19, CHASA, any comment?
Yes, Chair. The CEO of CHASA sent some additional information. You remember he made an oral presentation, but subsequently he sent a document from which he tailored his presentation, and it is actually on the website of Parliamentary Monitoring Group. It's just a narrative, nothing significant. It doesn't change anything at all, but it needs to be incorporated because there are facts that need to reflect.
What is he saying?
No, he's basically saying, I put the exact summary of it here, but he said, this doesn't actually capture his speech well, so he gave me an meaningful narrative of what he actually said, which I...
But this is a summary.
Correct, this is a summary.
Hey, we can't put all the speeches as they are.
No, we can't.
Unless if the summary does not reflect what he said.
There are certain things which I felt concerned that needs to be included according to his submission, and I agree.
Okay, so where is that?
It is actually on my computer.
What is to be included?
No, he made some suggestions for solution beyond the fact that CHASA would actually challenge any legislation that is actually focused only on one species. He made some suggestions that which he thought is the way to move forward.
He made them during the colloquium or after?
He made them during the colloquium.
Okay. Okay. We'll see those ones. Now, the ones that we need to then look at, because this is a... what emerged, a summary of what emerged is from paragraph number 7. So, any comment on that? Yeah, number 7, page 19. Page 20, any comment? Page 21, any comment? Page 22, further observation, any comment? Honorable Pere?
8.2, line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, where it reads, there are public sentiments that the captive bred lion industry is unethical. I think it should be included and lion bone trade. In other words, after industry and lion bone trade, like you included in the heading further back.
Okay. And lion bone trade. Okay, any further comments? That's accepted. Can we move to 23? Any comment on 23? Can we move to the last page? Any comment on the last page? No comment. Do we therefore accept the report, Honorable Pere?
Chair, there's just something I want you to, the committee to consider, yeah? Because in the conclusions and in the resolutions, there's nowhere that we've mentioned that we feel, and I think we do in agreement that this is the way I've written it. The committee believes the agreements between the Kruger National Park and private reserves should be revisited and revised accordingly. I think that was a general feeling amongst us,
yeah.
But it's not captured in this report.
Yeah, well, I thought that we resolved on it in the subsequent committee meeting, where we asked St. Parks to revise, and that's why even yesterday I was asking Fundi that they must come and present the revised agreement. But I think we can add it for completeness. It's not a problem. Can you just read it through?
this is my rough draft. I said the committee believes the agreements between KNP and private reserves should be revisited and revised accordingly. I don't know if that's the correct wording, but
yeah.
I think it captures it for me.
Yeah, no, we have a detailed resolution which we issued in terms of this, as per the statement. But yeah, it's along the same lines. I think we can include that as we can include that as 9.4 on the resolutions. So that we will include. We'll just expand it, taking from our own resolution that is captured in that statement. From when we dealt, when we had Dr. Pinnock, we had Kruger people, we had Mpumalanga. So we had a detailed statement that we issued there. Okay, before Honorable Makubela, I think there's something that I forgot on the quota, lion bone trade quota. I think we made also some recommendations there that it must be re-looked at. I don't know whether members remember, or must I just explain it again? Okay, there was a decision that was taken. I've been told that that decision has not yet been implemented. But there was a decision which was taken by the department increasing the quota of lion bone to be traded from 800 to 1,005. That decision, we were told, was based on the interim report of the scientific authority. Now, we had very intense discussion with the scientific authority, and I think it's also reflecting in our report that so we were being invaded by transport committee. So it's a double booking.
It was there, but they were not here.
Okay. Ulahlekile. Uchey. Okay, let's finish quickly. Can we agree in principle that we will come up with a formulation that talks to the that decision must be re-looked into about the lion bone, the quota for the lion bone trade?
Chair, what you're raising talks to 7.3 on page 20. So they were indicating that it's highly problematic, but also that it relates to CITES management and policies and so, authorities and so. So I'm just saying that formulation needs to take into consideration that it's not just in the country, but also it relates to what CITES has done. So we may want to have that resolution in line with it. Earlier on, before you raised this one, Chair, when I was raising my hand, what the Honorable Pardon is raising also talks to 9.1 on the committee resolutions, that the department needed to, as a matter of agency, initiate a policy and legislative review of this captive breeding and lion for hunting and so on. Yes.
Okay.
So
it's fine. But at least we accept that we put what Honorable Pedin say 9.4.
The private.
On the private nature reserves. Remember.
Yeah.
Remember the hunting in private nature reserves versus no hunting in Kruger.
Yes, the collapsed
fencing. Yes. So we'll just find a formulation, make it 9.4, and this thing about re-looking into that will make it 9.5. Is that agreed? Honorable Pedin?
Just your 9.5, can you just summarize it in your language. Let me get it clear in my mind. You're asking for a revisit to that as well, Chair.
Yeah, the decision taken to increase the quota for lion bone trade, that was taken based on the interim report of the scientific authority. Our recommendation, our decision is that it must be re-looked into. Yeah. It must be re-looked into because there is no scientific basis, as we are arguing in the report, for that. So are we fine? Can we adopt the committee report? Agreed? Mover? Honorable Makobela moves?
Yes. With amendments.
With those two amendments. And then Honorable Peden seconds. Any objection? No objection, and therefore the report is agreed to. It will be finalized, and then it will be 80 seat. And members of the public who are there, they've been asking for this report. They can get it once it's 80 seat. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. Our apologies, Chair, for the double booking. But ours was a very brief meeting. Thank you very much. Until next week.
No, there's no clash because there's no meeting taking place at the other committee.
Okay, the meeting's adjourned.